hope everybody got a good rest this weekend, because we are right back at it on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. I'm Nick Kyprios, alongside for the ride, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick. You know what I love about trade deadline?
So much.
Once it's over, everything's just so calm and relaxed, and we can just focus on the games.
Hockey.
Yeah.
Tonight, the Maple Leafs in Utah, a game that will feature yours truly and Justin Bourne, albeit a 10 o'clock puck drop.
That's a late puck drop for Dad. Buddy,
I'm the old guy here. Yeah, you got to keep me up.
I know.
Don't worry about yourself.
I'll get us caffeinated.
Is Friedge doing that one too?
Friedge is on that one as well.
Look, can he work harder, maybe? No. Oh, my God.
Plug in McKee for a night.
Seriously. Yeah. This kid's calling him uncle just because he visits every once in a while.
It's that time of year. That's all right.
Okay. So I don't even know where to begin after this weekend.
I think we all do.
So we had kind of gone through the whole trade situation with the Toronto Maple Leafs. And yeah, once again, this is the Leaf Hour edition of our show. So I'm not sure how far we're going to get to actually talking about Utah. But may I...
I
just wanted to remind everybody, the owner of the Utah Hockey Club, Ryan Smith, will join us at the top of the hour.
I shouldn't have said to heck with Utah. No. I mean, we have other Leafy topics to get to. Then we'll address Utah. Yeah.
Okay, recap. Leafs make a couple of trades. They shut down at 3 p.m. Eastern with the rest of the league. Mm-hmm. Scott Laughton's a member. Mm-hmm. Carlo's a member. Mm-hmm. Rantanen goes to Dallas. And you think we're kind of putting a bow on everything. And then our very own Elliot Friedman ends up reporting about the ask. Will this go down in Leaf history as just like the ask?
Like to Marner, will you waive your no trade?
So you guys tell me where you want to go with this, because I actually kind of find the whole thing a little silly. But you guys go ahead first.
You know, it feels like one of those things that has to be addressed. You know, that they asked one of their best players if he'd be willing to waive his no trade. Idea being to get Rantanen in. You know, rumors, innuendo. Sounds like Rantanen would have considered signing.
Oh no, no rumors.
He would have.
It's fact.
Okay, so you know, I have a hunch how you feel about it. We haven't talked about it. My guess. And I'll just tell you what I think.
I'd love to hear it.
I feel like I don't really blame anyone here. Like, I don't blame Carolina for trying to get a great player for their asset. I don't blame the Leafs for asking Mitch to say, we don't know if you're going to stay, but we know this guy who we think is also very good would. I don't blame Mitch for saying no, because he has a no trade clause by all accounts. And if he doesn't want to sign there and he's not sure here, he has every right to say no. I don't really blame anyone in the whole process. Makes sense to me.
I'm totally on board with that. So I'll go to Sammy now and say, Sammy, so what's the big deal? What is the big deal? Because apparently I heard that you went off a little bit on your Leaf talk Saturday night.
JD did a bit more talking than I did.
Okay.
But what else?
You also had some very strong words that
you
don't agree with.
Okay. I'm surprised to hear you not agreeing with them. I'm joking.
Tell us how you feel.
I think the way this played out and the way, you know, this leaked out here now, and the fact that Mitch Marner waived his no trade clause and said that he's, you know, wants to stay here in Toronto and
enforced his no trade clause.
Enforced his no trade clause. I think now that if he leaves in free agency, the way this is going to be perceived by the fan base, myself included, is he's not going to be very popular here at Kip. And that this now puts it into the John Tavares realm in Long Island. Mm. That you were asked by the team to waive, and you said no, which is your right. You negotiated that in your contract. You're allowed to have that. But you well know as well as anybody the perception, Kipper, of this guy in this market.
Yeah.
And this did not help.
So the idea is if you didn't want to stay, then you should have let the team.
And if you want to stay, they've clearly made a ton of offers to you. If you want to stay so badly, why does this have to go down to the 11th hour on July 1st where you have to grind for every dollar? If you want to stay, then just stay. Mm-hmm. If you want to go, there's an opportunity to go. You don't want to go to Carolina. I understand that. But the perception to me is it's just you kind of have your cake and eat it here too here. That is what I feel.
And you don't agree with that?
No, not at all, because first of all, he's looking at it through the eyes of being selfish right now as a Leaf fan or what's best for the Leafs. He's not taking into any consideration.
But he's saying fans. But he's saying fans will look at it that way, right?
Yeah, and that's okay. He's not the first and he won't be the last. That's what happens with unrestricted free agents. If they leave, there's always the feeling of you left us at the altar. You didn't like us. There's egos involved and all of that. That's fine. That's just life. But for me, to have watched this thing play out since the summer, and Mitch was very clear. I think Darren Ferris was very clear. We're not negotiating. Mitch made it very clear when he said, I'm not talking about my contract the rest of the season. Everybody was on board that he wasn't going anywhere. Mm-hmm. Everybody. Mm-hmm. There was not even a mention all season long about, is Mitch going to waive his no trade? We all came to the conclusion that he's just going to play out the year. So now a scenario with Rantanen at the 11th hour comes up, and he's supposed to just flush that down the toilet because he's worried about how he's going to be perceived if he leaves. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. I get Carolina asking for Mitch Marner.
Of course, yeah.
And I get that the Leafs have to go back to Mitch, because if they don't, they're just not doing their job.
Right.
But please tell me that Brad Treliving had a very strong indication that this guy's going to say no. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I want to ask you about.
He's going to say no.
Are you sure they needed to go to him to ask him? Like, really, was there any way in a million years that Mitch Marner is actually going to waive his no-trade clause, Kip?
I think if they had been honest with themselves and read the tea leaves, we know what the answer is.
And that's why some of this, to me, seems like PR, right? Like, you have to say we at least did our due diligence.
Yes, but, you know, I want to play a little bit for the Leaf management side, too, here. Because there is a level of frustration with disengagement. And I think it's pretty well clear now to everybody that the Leafs have tried to sign him.
Yeah.
Okay? And he stays consistent with his message. I'm not doing this. Mm-hmm. I told you I'm not doing it during the season. I'm doing it at the end of the year.
Can I stop you there? Was it clear that they weren't going to talk during the season?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, from the Marner side.
Okay. I don't remember that being part of the story.
So there is a level of frustration on the Leaf side because now they see Rantanen and we think we can get him. So you got to go back to Mitch and say, by chance, if you want this, it's there. Mm-hmm. We don't want you to go. We don't want to do it. We'd rather have you sign here, but we got to also cover ourselves here.
Yeah.
And Mitch said, yeah, I respect that. No problem, but I'm not going. I'm staying.
Sure.
And that should have been the end of it. Mm-hmm. So I don't see what the big deal is. If you really ask the players involved in management from Dallas to Toronto to, I bet you they went through 12 different names. Mm-hmm. Carolina didn't stop Carolina for asking for Roope Hintz or Wyatt Johnson.
Right.
Right? I mean, let's just throw names out. Let's see if something sticks here.
Yeah.
Mitch was one of those names to throw up on the wall and see if it stuck.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. Why are people so upset now?
Because the difference is, did they approach those guys to ask them to waive in the final years of their contract in the biggest media market in the sport? You know, like, it's just a different scenario here than it is anywhere else, Kip. You know that better than me. Like, the fact that that news got out makes this a huge thing. And We talked about it. I mean, you saw everything yesterday. He's getting asked about it. Treliving has to do a damage control press conference yesterday. It's been the number one talking point amongst every Leaf fan from that moment till now. Like, it's a different situation between Dallas and all these places. The fact that Brad Treliving went to the best player on the Toronto Maple Leafs this year, no question, and asked him to waive his no-trade clause in the middle of a season where you're trying to contend for a Stanley Cup is a massive deal. Like, I'm sorry, like, you can downplay it. I can understand that part of it.
The downplay is...
There's no downplay to that, Kip. It's a huge deal, man.
It is.
They're sick of trying to deal with this contract, and they tried to get out of it.
All that's happened, all that's really changed, Sammy, is you and everyone else woke up to the fact that the trade deadline's over and there's a real possibility that this guy's going to leave and walk out the door for nothing.
Well,
and that was a reality sledgehammer that came to surface because of this, when really it was out there this whole time and nobody believed it because they just thought he was just being a greedy pig and wanted 13 or 14 million. You misread. And most of Leaf fans misread the situation. They thought they knew, and they didn't have a clue what was going on behind the scenes. And they just woke up to it now and going, oh, my gosh.
Sure.
Oh, my gosh. He could leave for nothing. Yeah. And they're still offering him 13 or 13 and a half million, and he doesn't want to sign it.
Right. So I think that is what's changing perception-wise. For sure, and I think you're totally on point with that. Yeah. It's about then that it's not about the money at that point. It's that you don't want to be here. You know, it's that either if Mitch wanted to be here and he says he does want to be here, the contract and the dollars are there.
Why? Who are you to decide when this needs to happen? Mitch said it could happen at the end of the year.
I'm not here to decide. Right? I'm not here to decide, but he is at the mercy of what comes of not deciding. The fact that people are frustrated and annoyed and it seems like you've got an indifferent girlfriend who's choosing between you and someone else pisses people off. And I think that's the risk Mitch runs when he has the potential to be everything he could want to be here in this market by just being like, by just having done it. And so, yes, he has all those
rights.
But
he's not everything he can be. Because he spent 10... we could all could be something.
Yes.
But he's had 10 years where he has been a bit of a whipping boy, been no doubt the scapegoat above anybody else, most polarizing. And what's the point, Justin, if he signs today or tomorrow at 13 times 8 and they lose in the first round? He's done. He's cooked here. He knows it.
Not if he signed for 8 years. That would change things for sure. Then if he doesn't sign here.
Losing the first round and everybody's going to sit there and he will be the first guy that they blame. Guaranteed. It's happened over and over again.
It changes how, Sam, I know you want to get it.
No, let her rip.
It changes how people feel about you. Like, I know myself with relationships and whatever. If I got a vibe from a partner the way that Mitch just kind of does it with Toronto, I'd be like, you obviously don't like me that much. I'm just not going to waste my time in this. And so people are now feeling like, okay. No.
People have changed their minds. That's what happened. They changed their minds.
What do you mean?
Marner, this guy has told everybody for how long now, you can sign this contract, but I'm going to plug my nose. Why are you plugging your nose, Sam? Because it's not worth it. You've told everybody.
Because of the reaction from... This whole feeling.
Nobody wants to sign an 8-year deal and then have someone on national television go, I'm going to plug my nose at the contract.
Well, we're not on national in the Leafs hour, so we don't have to worry about that. But I understand all you're saying, Kipper.
You changed your mind. That's what's happened. Everybody's changed their mind.
What do you mean?
Oh, no. Mitch goes and he makes a big play to win now he can show up.
It was
now
fantastic.
I want him.
And I said that.
Right?
I said as much. But then, splash of cold water in my face of the return to reality, the way he's acted the entire time, every negotiation, everything, he's taken them to the cleaners. And there's
Where is he taking them to the cleaners, Sam?
He got paid way more than he was supposed to at the start.
At the start.
When he
where?
Got, His first contract negotiation.
He got 9 and he got 11, I think, is where.
That conversation.
And he's earned every penny of it.
I'm not saying he's not worth it.
At this point, so he's worth it. But at the time,
then? What do you mean now?
Braden Point signed for what? 9 at that point? He was overpaid when he was first signed. It went into free agency. I mean, went into training camp. Like the whole.
He's earned every penny he's ever made.
He has, absolutely.
Of course. Of course. But at the time, he was perceived. And if it's right or not,
buddy, I can tell you, Leon Draisaitl signed at 8.5, and people were saying that he at the time it was too much money. Okay? Okay, that's the way it works with the salary cap.
Yeah.
Okay, you overpay, and then the cap goes up, and then you're in the sweet spot.
The thing right now, Kip, and I'll just zoom out from all this sort of stuff, is that the Leafs. It feels like the Leafs would give him the money he wants to be here. Mm-hmm. And it feels like,
wasn't always the case either.
And that's
right.
I believe that to be true.
This past summer, they didn't know what to do with him.
But everything has worked in Mitch's favor this year in terms of salary and what he should get paid, and that's great. He's had a tremendous season.
Yeah.
The salary cap has gone up infinitely, all at the right time for him, and so that's all worked out in his favor, and that's great
because he put his balls on the line.
Absolutely, and that's great. All that having gone as well as it is, he's obviously going to make a lot of money. You're talking about, is it going to be 104, 106, 100 and whatever? It doesn't seem like it's coming down to money. And so people reserve the right to be upset if the guy doesn't want to take $100 million to play for their team. And so he has his right on the 1st of July to say, I will stay. I'll take 13, whatever. Give me the Matthews contract. And people are going to feel differently knowing he needed to date a few other people first before he did that.
I still think it's wide open whether he stays or goes.
How can this not change that? How can what
Why
just happened
change?
Because they're
Why
willing to
change.
Because they were willing to trade you at the deadline in the middle of a huge season.
Your call, Toronto. It's not management's call on when. I control.
I know.
Earned the right to make my call.
Yeah.
And if I want to do it in May, that's when I want to see it. Let's see. Let's see how I get treated. If we get knocked out in the first round, can I see how I'll be treated? Can I see, will I take the same punishment? Will people blame me because I had a bad line change and Pasternak passed me and the game-winning goal is over? Do I get all the blame?
Mm.
Or not?
Those are totally, totally, totally fair things. He's allowed to have those considerations.
Can we go to a conference final? Can I play the way I think I can play? Mm-hmm. People love me for a month and a half.
Yeah.
And then turn around and sign, and it'll feel a lot better to him and to the Leafs.
I just think by all accounts, everyone likes Mitch Marner. Every single teammate, I've worked with people in the organization for years. I know people around there. Everyone likes Mitch. He seems to be in a stable place here and all that. But it does feel like sometimes he's maybe not getting great advice. Because it feels like...
What advice?
Well,
where's bad advice? He's look at his contracts. He's maxed out.
I know.
He's earned it.
But that's it.
Right?
Where's the
bad advice?
If he took $100 million today, or whatever, call it 3 months ago, took $100 million and could lead this franchise in points, he'd have his jersey retired in the rafters. Doug Gilmore is on Sonnet insurance commercials at 60 years old. You can make infinitely more money. And
maybe he doesn't care about being on a commercial.
Maybe.
Maybe he doesn't.
He clearly cares a lot about the bottom line here, Kipper, because he's
just grinding
negotiating
to the end.
Exactly it. Like, stop saying you want to be a Leaf. Stop saying you want to be here.
If the money's $107 million, I want to be a Leaf, or whatever
there,
the number is.
If it's there, if you want to be a Leaf,
listen,
prove it. Sign again.
He's not shown anybody with conviction that he wants to be a Leaf.
But he said that multiple times. He wants to be here.
It's a tagline. It's just a tagline. That guy doesn't know whether he wants to be a Leaf or not.
And that's what bugs people.
Yes.
Well, hey, so what? 6 months ago, you didn't want him to be a Leaf either.
Fair enough.
So, okay. 100%. So, like, treat me like crap.
Yeah.
But then... treat me like you want to keep me. Like, who's in control here?
Well,
not the fans, not management, Mitch.
But he's a non-social media guy. Like, I don't know. I agree that he's taken some knocks on the chin, but he's one of the two highest paid guys on the league or on the team. And him and Matthews, those guys, they haven't got over the hump. I don't know if he's taking it harder than Matthews or any of these other guys. He probably is a little bit, but it's because of this stuff. You know, neither Matthews nor Nylander went down to the mat for every nickel at the very end. And it changes how people feel.
Yeah. That's well said. I don't know why. Like, this is a very similar conversation I'm sure they were having about John Tavares in the Long Island.
I don't remember where the Islanders were at. The one thing
they were fighting for the playoffs.
They were fighting.
I think they were maybe close to the playoffs, or they were in a playoff spot. He didn't want to go. And I'm telling you, Kipper, if he leaves, he's not going to be beloved.
I don't think
it won't matter in his hometown. It's not going to matter. How can that not matter?
Do you think he's going to leave?
I do.
No, I think if they win a couple of rounds, he stays.
Yeah. I think if they win two rounds, he
stays.
I think he wants to stay. That's the impression I have. And so,
can I give you one more scenario? And this is just me off the top of my head.
Of course.
What happens if he's been here 10 years and goes, can't win here.
Mm-hmm.
Can't win here. I got no shot at winning a Stanley Cup here.
Yep.
10 years I've been here. 10 years they've tried. 10 years I've watched them make decisions. 10 years I've seen the assets go out the door. Well, I can't win here. I want to go somewhere else and try to win a Stanley Cup.
Mm-hmm.
What do you say to that?
I mean, what do I say to him in that situation? Yeah. Well, I think it's like any major star who asks for a trade.
Yeah.
Again, it affects how people feel about you, but you're allowed to do what you want.
Okay, but No respect for that. No, hey, listen, I get it. I may get it that you want to go and try to win a Stanley Cup somewhere else.
Yeah, I think, you know, we tend to see these guys get to a certain point in their career where they go, God, I gave them all my good years and I'm running out of them. I better go. I don't believe in this franchise anymore. I mean, in that hypothetical, if he says that and the team's no good.
I'm just throwing scenarios out
there.
It's just, it can't be always about just the money.
I agree. Totally agree. Situation, circumstance, are you comfortable? Are you happy? Sounds like he's got a great community here.
There's just a million things that go through a guy in his last year of his deal with no contract.
But so the question I have for you is, you can't squint and see Leaf fans' perspective of this.
Listen,
see the other side of this.
Of course I can.
There's a big flip side of this, Kipper, where everything you've said, he's been a phenomenal Leaf in the regular season. He's been unbelievable. He's been worth every dollar. And we've argued about the playoff stuff a million times, but when, you know, it comes to, you know what, cut in time, a lot of the time it hasn't been there. And there's been the puck over the glass stuff and the big mistakes and big games. Listen, I get he's a phenomenal player, but there's a flip side to this, Kip. There is.
Yeah.
And like, we just can't ignore it.
Sometimes
like, it's
the
not
flip
like,
side is there needs to be a change.
Listen,
you can't just keep banging your head against the wall and trying. Listen, three years now, these four guys, get rid of one of them.
You know,
get rid of, you can't win.
You know what's crazy?
Can't win with all four.
Is Colorado traded Rantanen 13 games ago? And I looked at their forward group today and I went, huh, that's way better.
Yeah.
You know, like they used the money differently. They did different things.
But winning changes everything, Sammy.
I know.
Okay. And I think that's what his game plan was all along, is just go into the playoffs, win a couple of rounds, get some momentum, show people that you can play in big games. If he signs $13 million now and they lose in the first round, the guy's going to get beat up bad. And all bets are off. Then
Kipper, they lose in the first round again this year, everybody's getting beat up bad. You think it's going to be just him? You think Matthews, who's had the worst year of his career and he's no good in the first round in the first year being as a captain, you don't think he's going to take it on the chin?
He will take it more because he has in the past.
Not now, man. Like, it's just, they're all together.
Matthews has been very well protected compared to Marner. Yeah.
But I don't agree with that anymore. I think this perception is flipped. And I think the Four Nations face-off was unbelievable for Marner.
Yes.
And it did so much. It changed so many people's mind, Kipper.
And you know what? Sometimes you change your mind, including a relationship, and people get to say, it's just too late.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's just too late.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You know,
and listen,
I'm sorry you changed your mind that you couldn't open up your eyes and see what you had.
Wow. Okay? Yeah. I mean, I've seen what I've had for 7 years.
Yeah. And you crapped on it a lot.
Yeah. When the biggest games happen and it's crap, I did crap.
That, my friend, is what I call having your cake and eat it too.
For sure. No question. Like, great in the regular season, then my cake, I don't get to have it too in the playoffs when it matters the most.
I do think that, so I have long said that, like, it's going to happen for Marner. Like, as long as you see him in big games in the Four Nations, and, like, it's going to happen for him at some point. It would be interesting. This year goes great. He puts up a bunch of points. They have success.
Just win.
Just win, yeah.
Just win. Winning solves everything, guys. Okay?
Yeah.
And then when you lose, everybody jumps off an island, okay, and just finds whatever saves their own ass.
So
that's what losing does in the NHL.
One more point I wanted to make on this is that all of this does feel like people protecting themselves a little bit. You know, like, management had to find out that they asked them, right? They had to look out for themselves a little bit and be like, just so you guys know, we did ask. You know, everyone kind of in this case, like, these jobs are hard to come by. The player has to, you know, I just feel, why do we know about it? I feel like there's a lot of people just making sure everyone knows. We're all doing our job here. We're all trying our best.
What do you make of it coming out?
I wrote, I've had conversations with you. I would have traded Marner last summer, okay? And I would have been aggressive on him. I would have. People are suggesting now that the Leafs may have leaked this to put pressure on him. Have you heard that?
No.
About Elliott's report coming out?
I'm fascinated to know who leaked it.
There would be zero benefit to the Toronto Maple Leafs for leaking it. I hear that, they wanted to put pressure on him. There's no pressure on a Saturday, 12 hours after the trade deadline.
Right, that's
There's
true.
No pressure.
Yeah.
The pressure would have been if it got leaked before 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. So wipe that out of your heads right now. There is no benefit of this leaking from anybody in the Toronto Maple Leafs side. All leaking would have done was pour gasoline on a fire, which it did, and cause a major distraction. The last thing the Leafs needed was this to be a distraction to their season. Okay, if by chance the Leafs don't get it back on the rails and they may be losing the first round, this will be the key turning point.
This is the Marner contract disaster.
This is
year has its new
people
one.
Will mark this down as the reason where it fell off.
100%. And
right,
credit to them for coming out and talking about it.
I don't have.
Yes. Yeah. I think Tree did a good job of saying we want him back and he knows that. And when his time's ready, he's going to come to us.
You know, part of what Tree said in his clip, and I don't think we're past the point of playing clips here. I think we've, you know, talked about it enough, but he said, this is not a distraction. We don't want it to be a distraction. Yeah. I got to tell you, boys.
Yes, he knows.
We're past the point of this not being a distraction. This is now looming over the entire thing. And it wasn't before that got out.
Win tonight in Utah, come back, beat Florida this week, and everything calms right down, okay? But, you know, just to my earlier point, for me, I would have pushed Marner harder. I would have said, listen, we're going to play out this season, but there's going to be a trade deadline at 3 p.m. If we don't have your name on a signature, you got to give me six teams. Mm-hmm. You got to give me four teams. You got to do something to me. I'm not sure that's happened. Mm-hmm. I'm not privileged to that information. I don't know if it did, but as far as I'm concerned, I don't think it happened.
Mm-hmm. Well, going back in time here, the great what if and the time to trade Mitch Marner, as we all know, was before July 1st, was it 2022? But right before he left, before the no move kicked in, before you had more control of what he wanted to do, he had years left in his contract there, and it was the first week of Brad Treliving living on the job. He's just getting there. This is the one situation where, looking back, a fresh set of eyes maybe was a worse thing.
We could do a four-hour show looking back, and we will find a lot of that.
Okay. What
a
ifs.
Lot of it.
What ifs
or what happened? And
that's common in most organizations. Right?
Not quite like this one.
No,
and we don't care about other organizations.
Touche.
But Mitch Marner needed to, the Leafs needed a hard list of, give me something here. Give me something.
Do you think they hate that?
So I wrote an article on the Rantanen thing saying that the Leafs should go after Rantanen. And they did. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying this because I wrote an article, but I'm saying because it made total sense. Because Rantanen was their plan B. Mm-hmm. Mitch walks out the door, Rantanen walks right in. The time Brad needed to ask Mitch if he would waive his no move was when Colorado had Rantanen up for sale, not Carolina at the last second. That's
a great point.
That's, and then you should have had
think about
a list
there.
Of 3, 4, 5 teams. And you know what? I guarantee you one of them would have been Colorado.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's actually a fantastic point.
Do you think that like Marner and the people around him, just call it his agent, whatever, hate this? Hate that he's in the news every day and part of the conversation? Or do you feel like they like this? Because it feels like this is...
What's the like?
I don't know. But some people some people just like being in the headlines. And
Not like this. Nobody would like this. Yeah. Nobody would like this.
President of the U.S. that seems to like chaos.
No, oh gosh. No.
You know,
the kid just wants to play.
Yeah.
And
it just feels like this is avoidable to me. I don't know. We shouldn't be here.
It was. Yeah. It was, but there's a sequence of events that have totally led to this. This didn't happen by accident.
The Big Bang.
This was the stars aligning to get to this point. Right? And either...
Stars are not aligned. The stars are jagged.
Win.
They're everywhere.
Win, and they go back.
I can't believe you even asked him. That's what I go back to, is that I truly can't believe Treliving even asked. And listen, it takes stones to even take it to him. I guess it's doing your job. I guess. But, like, you just had a guy in Mikko Rantanen go there, and literally we're going to play a clip later in the show and be like, he never wanted to be there. Mm-hmm. And you approach a premier guy from Toronto that's going to want to go to Carolina midseason.
Hey,
I'm stunned they even asked.
Hey, Mikko, it's Mitch Marner. How was it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't sound like Mikko went there, looked around, and said, this stinks. Sounds like Mikko found out he was going to Carolina and said, this stinks.
What he said was, I'm like 2 months away from free agency. Yeah. Why do I now be, why am I forced to pick Carolina? Mm-hmm. It was ridiculous to begin with. And I think in our national hour, we may have a clip from the head coach who all but admitted that.
He did.
So it's like, tough learning lesson. 0-2, Carolina. 0-2 on picking a potential UFA and thinking I'm holding all the cards because I'm the only one that can offer an eighth year.
I think this happens to Winnipeg and more than people know that, like, it's not as easy as can you get the guy. It's can you get a guy who wants to be there? Can you get a guy who you're not on his no trade? Can you get a guy who wants to stay? Like, it's a challenge for some teams more than others out there. And I think some GMs come off really good. Mm. Like Tampa Bay is a great example where, like, no one's ever turned them down. You know, and everyone's like, Breeze was a genius. It's like, well, he has a lot less limitations than other GMs.
Conference final for the Leafs, Sammy. Mitch stays. You're a happy guy.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Duh. Yeah. Yeah. Like, honestly, that, I think, the great flaw or the fly in the ointment, I don't even know if that's the right saying, but the whole reason this is like this is because they didn't get a bounce or two in a couple game sevens that they've played. If they went to the conference finals once, the second round twice, they went like, it's just
like, we're making pushes. We're getting close.
There's so much around the playoff stuff that people just don't feel great about it.
Yeah. There's no doubt. Like they fall to the 2-3 matchup. They get smoked in five by Tampa or something. That's like, all right, well, we got 11 mil to spend because he's gone.
I think. Yeah, I don't have anything else.
We should go to break.
Okay, let's go to break. And wow, we didn't even get.
They played a game.
To what players. Happened Saturday night. Still plenty more on our Leaf Edition Hour as we break down what we saw Saturday night, including a couple of new faces.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, 10 p.m., 9:30, pregame show, Justin Bourne and yours truly, David Amber, Elliot Friedman. We get to do it all over again. More when we return to Real Kipper and Bourne.
Hey, it's Ailish Forafar.
And I'm Justin Cuthbert.
Join us as we discuss the most important sports stories of the day and tee up the biggest games of the night.
It's The Fan pregame, 6 p.m. weekdays on Sportsnet, Sportsnet 590 The Fan, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the program. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. It's the Leaf Hour edition of our program.
Crazy they traded Marner when we went to commercial. It was wild.
I got a text in the text line.
So, well, we're not taking texts. Is this a special edition text?
As a Bruins fan, I am really enjoying this Marner conversation.
Yeah, because
but can Kipper and Sammy just hug it out on camera, please?
Yes. Oh, you
signed the Davinator.
They're besties.
Okay, Sammy's like 6'7". I can't reach him. I cannot reach him to hug him. I assure you this.
Can you imagine they traded Mitch Marner for Mikko Rantanen on Friday?
I would like to go to the universe where it happened so I could get Kipper's.
Are they better?
I don't know, man. Let's not.
Okay. fascinating what if.
Yes.
He doesn't kill penalties, does he, Rantanen?
No, he's not much of a defensive whiz.
No.
But crazy what if. Crazy.
All right. You mentioned it in our first block that Colorado looks a little different.
Yeah.
In your opinion, a little better. There's no question when Valerie Nikushkin's in the lineup, like they're a better hockey club. His hat trick lifted the Avalanche past the Maple Leafs for their fifth straight win. And somehow, some way, I thought maybe Saturday night, McKinnon can kind of just slide by with not much on the score sheet. And then, no, not so much.
How about how good Brock Nelson was? Was he not fantastic? Am I the only one who noticed that?
First shift of the game, he rings one off the post right down the chute.
Ran at everyone he could. He was...
Is now a bad time to tell you how hard the Leafs pushed on Brock Nelson?
No, it's a great time. Tell us, please.
Tell us more. Yeah.
Yeah, they did?
No.
Did they try to trade Matthews for McDavid at the deadline, too? Got the other brain busters.
Okay, go back.
He was really good. I think most important place to start is probably with the Leafs, with their new guys, Brandon Carlo, Scott Laughton.
Yes.
I don't really care about the overview of the game. They lose 7-4. They were up 4-2.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Not so much whatever. That's okay. That's one that you gotta lock down. You gotta come out with points in that. You
can't lock down anything though, Tim.
That's not a good sign.
It's not.
Okay. It's not a good sign, and they should be extremely disappointed. I don't buy into, well, we had two new faces and they've, you know, we gotta get them acclimated and
the other team
blah, blah, blah. Five. It's like, no, up 4-2. Mm-hmm. Close it out.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. But just to hit on the new guys first. Carlo, good for me. Laughton, bad. Anyone want to elaborate or disagree? Carlo did have some tough moments.
The first 5 minutes of the Carlo experience, I was like, did they just make a new Tuukka Rask trade?
No.
Did Tuukka Rask just drop new one? But then he did settle into the game. But he got barbecued, I think, on the first or second shift by Nathan McKinnon. Blew by him. Didn't look comfortable. But it's his first game. Didn't get to practice. Flies in there against the fastest team in the league. Didn't think it was the best matchup for him. But I thought he grew into the
20
game.
20-plus minutes.
Led the team
in minutes.
Yeah.
That's a big ask for sure.
It is.
And I'm with you. At times he looked a little lost out there. But his head's spinning a little bit. And he's asked to play the most minutes. I think Carlo at least showed everybody that he can really help, especially if one of the big boys goes down.
Yeah.
Tanev, we got news today that it's not going well on his rehabilitation, on his upper body injury. So, like, that's why you got Carlo.
Yeah.
Because you envision maybe a McCabe or a Tanev going down, and you need a guy that can play 18 to 22 minutes. A
couple of days ago, Kevin Papetti tweeted, the lowest 5-on-5 goals against per 60 over the last five seasons, and Carlo is fourth in the NHL. On the list is Tanev, Lindholm, McDonough, Forsling. Good players. He is a really good shutdown quality guy. Thought a couple times the play was going behind the net and he took the body, like really just like stopped the rush
yeah.
or the cycle. So those things I found really optimistic. I know, you know, the end of the day, I think he was on for 2-4 and 2 against, but that was really positive for me. So it looks like it should. I think him and Riley are going to end up working out pretty decent. Lawton, tougher start.
Yeah. Not the debut. I mean, he's a local guy.
Yeah.
Dreamed of this moment literally his whole life.
Yeah.
And then you throw on the jersey.
And he'll be fine.
For sure.
You know, it's like Colorado, you're at elevation chasing Nate McKinnon in a new sweater. Big ass.
And it just sucks. He makes the wrong decision. He covers off the point for some reason, gives him a full straight line right to the cup, and he shoots it in. Like, that's not the debut you wanted, but I'm not worried about it.
For me, again, going back to the trade, I would have preferred more skill.
Mm-hmm.
A guy that could shoot it in the net. Someone that could alleviate more pressure off of Matthews, Marner, Nylander, Tavares, now Nyes, but it's not him.
No.
It's not him. He's going to have to come in here, play incredibly gritty. For me, for this trade to work out, he's got to play more than 11 minutes.
Yeah.
Like might as well have kept Connor Dewar and your first rounder, and it cost him Grubenkin.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't know what Grubenkin's going to be, but the guy came along. He's going to be something here. You gave up a lot for this guy. He has to find a wheelhouse of 14, 16 minutes, 17. They got to be quality, in your face, hard, shoot it in the net every once in a while. That's where they got to get this guy to.
Well, they got
to
build that third line. Like, I don't know what the answer is going to be. But I am fascinated that they scratched Cale Yarncroc, right? Nick Robertson stayed in. Yeah. He played a start in the fourth line. They worked him up to the second line, which didn't exactly go great.
Okay.
No, it's just unclear what this third line is going
to
look like.
Well, this goes to show you that you go into Saturday night and they've got Max on the wing, right? And Holmberg's big and heavy. McMahon's big and heavy. Lawton's heavy. He doesn't want Nick Robertson or Yarncroc.
No.
They're light. They don't push. They don't run people over.
Yeah.
But they don't get in the way.
Domi's no different to me in terms of like physicality. Like, he doesn't hit. Like, yes,
no,
he's
but
got
he can piss people off. He can stir it up.
Yeah.
He can stir it up.
He'll stick his nose in there for sure.
Nick unfortunately can't, and neither can Yarncroc. So they may bounce back and forth, those two guys.
Yarncroc and Robertson.
Until he gets pissed off at one of the guys in the lineup.
Yeah. Or there's an injury. It is crazy because we have talked for years about Nick Robertson getting traded. And now that they keep or get Lawton instead of a guy like Nelson who can't, you know, Lawton doesn't score, I'm more drawn to Robertson. They need more guys who can shoot it in. Nyes is better than they've ever had and McMahon too. But like, there's going to be games where it's like, guys, we can't go 7 straight games scoring 2 goals a game. Nick might have to shoot a couple in for us. So he's going to get some opportunity here.
Yeah.
By the time this thing's all said and done.
The thing you worry about is just, like you mentioned, his role.
Yeah.
Like, he's not... When I saw him playing on the fourth line, I was like, oh, he's not playing next game. Like, it's just like he's playing on the fourth line wing. It's like, that's just not... You've seen that a million times over the years in hockey where they put, like, the young skill guy on the fourth line. It's just like, that's not a plan that's going to work.
I watched Robertson in that role. Puck gets dumped in behind him, and there's a player in front of him, and just lets him go hit his D-man as hard as he can. As a winger, all you do in the puck's dump is you step in front of the first guy. You just get a butt end, you slow him down, whatever, and he just doesn't do some of those little things, and that's frustrating. So that, to me, I'm just saying, he can't play on the fourth line. You're not going to do those simple little things. So better shoot it in sometimes.
Yeah, but you do watch Brock Nelson, and you're like,
that's a different thing.
That would have been nice.
I guess they offered him, reports were, over 3 times 7.5, like 3 times 8.
That ain't getting it done.
For Nelson.
Yeah. He's going to make more money in Colorado.
He said he wanted more.
And he's going to get another year. He'll get 4 years, and he'll get north of what you just said.
8.5?
Nah, maybe. I don't think you have to go that high.
8, maybe.
Yeah.
Not even.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe 8.
Yeah.
The thing that you said about Lawton playing 11 minutes, it just... I really hate that the big deadline edition on this first night just slid right into Team B.
Well,
you know,
yeah, but
it's just like that's not.
It's just what
Sammy,
I want.
That's not what I wanted.
It's one game.
I understand
where he struggled a little bit in his own zone. So instead of adding onto it, he backed off his minutes. He maybe established that it wasn't going to be a good night for him. the minutes that he probably ended up with were more in line to protect him than to expose him for more colossal damage.
And I'm going to Lawton's like game logs, last five games with Philly, 18-17, 19-19, 18-33, 16, and then Toronto last night. My point is that he can play minutes. Now, typically, he's only played about 15, 16 minutes a night.
Tonight, which is what you're asking tonight for. He needs to hit that average.
Yeah.
Tonight, he needs to hit that wheelhouse.
His average with Philly is 15.06 this year. So, yeah,
okay.
If you can get there, that's good.
Goaltending.
First night that Stolarz,
yeah, first night where it's like, that's not the guy that you saw all season long.
Yeah.
What did you see?
I still saw him keep him in the game.
Yeah.
A lot of that
game. He made some big saves, too.
Like, I know five entered the net, but like, God.
Five. Could have been seven or eight.
Could have been 10.
10.
So, I don't know. Like, they're playing pretty poorest team defense right now.
Kip and I are going to do TV tonight, and Kip, if I'm not mistaken, you have some numbers about that. Am I correct? Like, we got some from Marzi sent to us about how their D since a certain point has not been very good.
Yes, and the one thing that is abundantly clear, and we'll get into this in our pregame show, is that they are spending way too much time in their own zone.
Yeah,
and why do you think that is, boys? Can't break it out.
Well, Benoit and Myers as a pair cannot break the puck out. Neither of them can do it.
Especially against that team.
Yeah. So that's just you're in catch-up mode here. Mm-hmm. Now everybody's trying to block a shot and everybody's trying to help the goalies out. And what used to be just maybe a block shot and a puck out now is starting to turn into longer time in your own zone or finding ways to get through now and actually beat your goaltender. So they got to clean that up tonight.
Yeah, some of the stats I saw today, I was poking through it. They're like puck retrievals to clean breakout stuff from SportLogic, all really bad. Like 28th, 29th, like they're not going back on pucks and getting them going cleanly the other way. So, you know, without guys like Liljegren and Timmins, who, you know, okay, I'm fine with that. You're going to need a couple guys to make some plays here. And Carlo can do that. He should help them in that regard, but you know, hasn't been pretty for a while.
Willie, Saturday night, I think he ended up with two assists, and I'm like, really?
Did he?
He did?
I think so.
Yeah, he did. I think power play on
but
the...
He was too quiet for me Saturday night.
I would agree with that.
With pace of play and holding onto the puck and making more dangerous, consistent plays, it wasn't really his night either.
Right. Tavares keeps shooting it in the net. His shooting percentage is through the roof.
God, he can lean on a snapper when he
can.
In the sweet spot. Like, he beat him clean.
Yes.
But 5-on-5, I think he still struggles for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I was trying to find a stat here.
It's funny. Nylander, for me, to my eye, I'm like, it hasn't been particularly good recently, and it's just, he's got a 5-game point streak going.
Yeah.
You know, and how many goals? 35?
He has 35 goals. Yeah.
It's like, quietly, like,
that guy's career high.
He's so talented. He could score 35 with his eyes closed, you know, and on maybe a good year when he opens them up, maybe 50.
You know, while we're before we go to break. So since February 1st, Matthews and Marner, it's funny. It's like statistically have like flipped roles. Matthews 3 goals, Marner 6. Matthews 15 assists, Marner 5. Shooting percentage for Matthews is 5 and Marner's 27.
I thought we had Freaky Friday already.
Honestly, though, like, do any goalies check the scouting report on Marner?
He shoots in the same place.
Every goal in his career is hit the exact same part of the net. Yeah. Cross.
Far.
It's like
far side.
Cross the seam into the blocker side of the net. Crazy. It's always happened.
Matthews leads the NHL since February 1st in assists. First time in his career, he's led the NHL in assists for a span of at least 30 days. So maybe. Maybe he's dishing. He's been listening.
Maybe
he's tuning in.
Looking like a young Jordan Stahl out there recently.
What do we make out of Utah?
We're about to find
Utah.
Out.
They're actually pretty good, but they're, you know, no high end.
But meaningful game still for them, right?
Absolutely. And they're in the mix.
I'm sure our next guest is fired up about that.
Yes.
Good segue, Sammy.
Thank you.
Ryan Smith, owner of the Utah Hockey Club, will join us after the break. It's got a creak. Kind of cool owning a team, eh?
Must be fun. Look forward to hearing about that.
All right. We'll get into that, plus so much more. Brad Marchand.
Oh, my God.
We didn't even talk about him.
Oh, my God. We need another hour.
Wow, have we got more meat on the bone here on the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Do not, I repeat, do not go away.